around the throne, bowed down and worshiped and took off their crowns and pushed them out and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And there was silence in heaven as everyone contemplated the holiness, the worthiness, the power and majesty of our great and awesome God. Let us just take a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for the message of God's word this morning. This morning, we're coming to the end of this Table Talk series for this year. We've been focusing on the bodybuilding throughout this year. Bodybuilding 101, Bodybuilding 2, Bodybuilding 101, 102, 103, 201, 202, 203, 301, 302, and 303. Yeah, it's harder to say all those things like that, you know, especially when you got a little check in your throat. But today, we're coming to this last installment of bodybuilding. And we're looking specifically today at the body in motion. You know, we've looked at that the last quarter of the year because we do this series every first of the month. You know, we've looked at reaching in. You know, what does that mean? You know, when in the body in motion, what does it mean to reach in and to, you know, look at our own lives first, you know, in relation to God and how God is at work, how is He transforming us, how is He changing us, and not only how is He changing us individually, but how is He transforming us as a community as we reach in to build those relationships, those vital relationships. And then we looked at 302, which is a couple months ago, was reaching out. You know, before we can really reach out, we have to know who we are together, and we have to understand what we're being called to as a body to be able to reach out with. You know, what are we able to reach out with, you know, in terms of our relationship with God? And now today we're looking at this last section, which is reaching the world. What is it going to take for us to really reach the world around us as the body of Christ, not just as individuals, but as the body of Christ? And so, you know, where I want to start today is just kind of giving you a little bit of a review of some of the quotes that I shared with you last time from Todd Bilsinger, or Bolzinger, you know, these were some really key thoughts that I want you to bring with you into this message today. Just bear with me here. The first quote from last time we were together on this topic was around Christ's mission. Okay, and as I share these three quotes that I'm going to share with you right now, I want you to try to figure out what's the thread that's tying all these quotes together, okay? The thread? It'll be pretty obvious. Christian community is not merely about connection, care, and belonging. Spiritual transformation is not just about becoming more like Christ as an end in itself. For in a post-Christendom world that has become a mission field right outside the sanctuary door, Christian community is about gathering and forming a people. Spiritual formation is about both individual and corporate growth, so that they together participate in Christ's mission to establish the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, so bringing together all those elements of individual growth in our relationship with each other, community growth as a church, you know, growing in our together as the body of Christ. And what is it all about? What is it all about? It's all centered in our understanding of Christ's mission to establish the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. That's the first quote. Now, in order to be able for us to be able to do that effectively as the body of Christ, Todd Bolzinger mentioned to us that, hey, you need to possess something within you individually and as a corporate body. And that is relational congruence. You probably remember we talked a little bit about that in depth. But this is the quote that he had. Relational congruence is the ability to fundamentally be the same person with the same values in every relationship, in every circumstance, and especially amidst every crisis. It is the internal capacity to keep promises to God, to self, and to one's relationships that consistently expresses one's identity and values in spiritually and emotionally healthy ways. Relational congruence is our ability to cultivate strong, healthy, caring relationships, maintaining healthy boundaries, and communicating clear expectations, all the while staying focused on the mission. The mission. And, you know, as we talked about that last time, we summarized it all up, and it's saying, you know, the same way we are here when we come together at church with each other and we're building relationships and loving relationships and caring relationships, the same kind of relationships that we have with people here that we're building as the body of Christ, relational congruence means we take that same posture, that same way of being out into the world around us. To all of our non-Christian friends, to all of the people who are very different than us in the world, but we stay the same. We are the same person because our identity in Christ. Amen. We live that out every day because that's part of our, some underlined words up there. Mission. It's part of our mission. It's to be an expression of God's love and God's God in the world, to be that incarnate presence of God in the world around us. That's relational congruence. And then he also reminded us that in order to be able to reach out, it's so important. For Christians who have answered the call to follow the Master, who also calls us friends and gives us each other as brothers and sisters, this relational congruence is even more critical for the mission of Jesus entrusted to his followers is expressed to the world through the love that the disciples have for each other. The goal of the Christian faith is not simply to become a more loving community, but to be a community of people who participate in God's mission to heal the world by reestablishing his love, his loving reign on earth as it is in heaven. That's what this is all about. You know, if we're going to be able to reach out to the world around us, to reach the world for Christ, to share the good news of the gospel that we've been learning so much about in our Gospel of John study, you know, all those stories of Jesus that we're learning and how, you know, Jesus interacted, how he did all this. If we're going to put that all into practice, then we have to have a really strong sense of, there were words that were underlined in all of those, in those three things. What are the underlined words here? Christ's mission, you know? Jesus Christ came into the world with a mission. We've been learning about that in John. Then we as we are relationally congruent and sharing ourselves with the world around us, we are to do so with what? A focus on the mission. The mission. And then as we reach out, we understand what is it? Jesus came with a mission. He set before his disciples a mission And now what are we to do as those who are followers of Jesus Christ? The mission that Jesus has entrusted to us. Because that's how God works in this world. So with that in mind, now let's move into this lesson today, this focus today on being missional. Being missional as a church. You know, if we're going to reach the world around us, then we have to embrace this mission that Jesus has modeled for us, that he set before us, and that his disciples took up and transformed the world. You know, it started with 11 disciples who were really committed. And now look, Christianity's all over the world. All over the world. And why is that? Well, it's because they had a clear sense of the mission that Jesus had set before them. So if we're going to be able to understand how to reach this world, we have to understand something very foundational. Our mission. And that was set for us by Jesus in what we've come to understand and know as the Great Commission. How many of you have ever heard of the Great Commission? Yes? Yeah, I hope all of us have. It's right out of Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. And this is what Matthew tells us. He says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Very beautiful declaration by Jesus. And it wasn't just for Shirley. I couldn't resist that, Shirley. You're sitting right there. "Surely I will be with you till the end of the age." You know, this Great Commission, the story that Matthew sets up here, before we get right into the Great Commission and what it's all about and how it flushes out for us today. I just love the way Matthew sets it up. All right? Because it's so human. So human. And aren't we human beings here? You know, when we're wrestling with how do we become missional? How do we become more mission focused? How do we take up this mission, this commission that Jesus has given to us? Well, how did the disciples take it up? Well, Matthew just says this. He says, you know, the disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Now, when was this? This was after Jesus had died on the cross. He had died. He was buried. And then he had risen from the dead. All through that, the disciples were like, what are we going to do now? You know, they were frightened. They were afraid of what was going to happen next. He had entrusted everything to them, his teaching. And now they were, well, what are we going to do? Then they get the word from the women who'd gone to the tomb. And they all go and they realize Jesus is risen. And Jesus appears to them. And then Jesus tells them, I'm not going to be here with you all the time, but I want you to go someplace to meet me. You know, like, we'll have a rendezvous. You know, if anything happens to me, you know, go to this place and we'll meet you there. And so Jesus told them to go to Galilee. After his death, resurrection, he told them to go to Galilee. So they went, don't understand this, but we got to go. We got to go back to where it all began. Remember that? You know, it says they went back to that mountain in Galilee. And my mind goes to the only mountain I can think of where Jesus, you know, was set out a mission for his disciples was that beautiful declaration on the Sermon on the Mount. Remember when all those thousands of people gathered around him on that mountain? That's where he sent them back to. Okay, we'll go back there. And it took something to follow his leading that way, even when they didn't understand where he was sending them at that point. They didn't understand it. They couldn't quite comprehend it, but they were listening. They listened to Jesus. And when he said, I want you to go to that mountain in Galilee, and I'll meet you there, they went. They went. They went where Jesus was leading them. And not only that, but I'm sure they were willing to be unreasonable about it. I mean, you know, I'm sure that some of them were a little grumpy about it. You know, what do you mean we got to travel all the way from Jerusalem all the way back to Galilee now? You know, we're tired, we're worn out, we're exhausted, we're emotionally drained. And this is an emotionally draining experience. You want us to go where? Back to Galilee. Okay. We'll be unreasonable. Get the word un there. Without reason. Sometimes we can get very reasonable about things. We can think of all kinds of reasons why we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that, we shouldn't go where Jesus has told us to go. That would be out of our way to go there. We can be very reasonable. We can think of all kinds of excuses why we shouldn't listen to what Jesus is calling us to do, instructing us to do. But they were unreasonable. Unreasonable. And it takes something to let go of what is rational and reasonable and to follow Jesus' leading when it seems so out of the ordinary. But they did. They went. And here's something that happened next. They saw Jesus from a distance. When they were on their way, they were getting closer, and they saw Jesus from a distance. And when they saw Jesus from a distance, some of their hearts just burst into worship of God. Oh, this is so great. He's right there. We're on the right track. We're coming closer to him. We're seeing where he is in all of this right now. And we're there. We're there with you, Jesus. But then it says some doubted. Some doubted. Some just couldn't. Is this real? Is this reality? I mean, they couldn't believe their eyes. You know, what their eyes were saying to them. Is this really where Jesus wants us to be? They doubted. Even as they were following what they, you know, Jesus had said them to do, they were close to where they were going to be given this great commission. That God was going to just give them this mission. And they doubted. Some worshiped, some doubted. Isn't that so human? Isn't that so like us? Isn't that so like us? When we hear, when we have a real clear understanding of where the Spirit of God is leading us, you know, there are those who will really burst out into worship and say, oh yeah, God, you're so good. And then there are others who just go, I just can't see this. Can't see why would Jesus be telling us to go there? What's really amazing about this story, as Jesus gets to this great commission that we're going to look at in just a minute again, Jesus, Matthew just says, Jesus came to them. I love that. I love it. Jesus came to them. Let that sink in for just a minute. You know, when we're struggling with this whole thing about what is our mission, what is our vision, where are we going? You know, we're hearing God say to go this way, and some are worshiping, some are doubting, and we just, in the midst of all that, Jesus comes to us. He comes to us. His presence is real. His presence is calming. His presence is authoritative. And he comes and he breathes out those words to his disciples that we now know as our Great Commission. The Great Commission that Jesus left to the church. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And when Jesus came to them, and they experienced his presence, Jesus commissioned them. He set before them a mission to fulfill. And sometimes it takes something from us to get ourselves into that place where we are ready to listen, where we're ready to be unreasonable, where we're ready to really just receive his presence and his authority to set before us the mission that he's giving to us as a body. But Jesus did that. And so now let's look at this Great Commission, because this is the church's authoritative prime directive. It's the prime directive for us as a body if we're going to reach the world. He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. It starts with recognizing Jesus' authority. He is the Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is the one who has come. You know, all the things that we've been teaching in John's Gospel recently about who Jesus is. He's the great shepherd of Israel. Well, he's the one that sets the tone. He's the one that we follow his lead, because he has the authority, as you know, Daniel 7 tells us. He's the one that God has given the authority to establish this kingdom forever. And so what does he say to us? He says, all authority has been given to me on earth, heaven and on earth. And now, here's what you're to do in response. Go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. Go and replicate yourselves. What you've learned, what you've received, the love that you have for God in your life, replicate that with someone else in the world. Share what you've been given. And it's really interesting here. It's as you are going, wherever you find yourself, make disciples. It's not something like, you know, go all the way around the world to a faraway place. It's not that. It's not go halfway across Canada. It's not. It may just be go across the street to your neighbor. But wherever you are, however you are going, make disciples. Make disciples. That's the commandment that Jesus gives us. And we might ask, well, what does it mean to make disciples? What does it mean? Oh my goodness, I gotta make disciples. I don't even have the instructions. Oh, well, actually, hold on. We do have the instruction manual. Oh, I don't have the resources. Oh, yeah, we do have the resources. The Holy Spirit. Oh, how do we make disciples? Who knows how to make a disciple? Who here knows how to make a disciple? Oh, come on. We've been sitting in church for how long in our life? I mean, I've been 40 plus years. This is the basic. Well, okay. I'm not gonna go there right now. I'm kind of feeling like, hey, guys, I know you're afraid to answer the questions sometimes, but how do we make disciples? Well, here's a simple primer on that for you, okay? It's not really that difficult. One, it's to present the gospel to others so that they believe in Jesus. It's just tell people about Jesus, surely.
First, you have to show your care.
Yeah, and part of that is showing you care to your neighbor. We're going to get to that in just a minute because that's another part of this whole thing. But first of all, it's be willing to present the gospel to others so that they can believe in Jesus. And that's not just taking your Bible and hitting them over the head or slapping them across the face with it. It really is about showing you care for other people and being relationally congruent, right? This comes back to that relational congruence. And then, once somebody has come to know Jesus, I didn't know that I could do that with somebody, and it's bringing them into the fellowship of the church and so that they can be baptized, initiated into the forever family of God, introducing them to your beautiful family that's here. As Giovanni always says, the great good-looking people in Peterborough, right here. And then, so that then, the next part of making disciples is teaching them to obey, to live out everything that Jesus has commanded us to do and to be. And that's, you know, that can be in all kinds of different ways. It can be having them, you know, encouraging them to come to church. It could be, you know, having a little Bible study in your home. It could be just mentoring someone one-to-one. But it's teaching people, sharing what you have learned with others. See, it doesn't have to be hard, but this is at the heart of the mandate or the prime directive that we've been given as believers is to be actively engaged in this mission. And here's the thing that I keep coming back to for surely, is that Jesus has promised that he will be with us as we fulfill this mission. Surely he will be with you always, right? Right. And you know, it's learning, you know, it's teaching people what Jesus has commanded us, what Jesus has taught us. So, you know, a big part of the Great Commission is something else that we've learned. How many of you have ever heard of the Great Commandment? Anybody? The Great Commandment. Yes, the Great Commandment. Oh, I love this because it's one of the table talk highlights in the Bible. You know, Jesus did table talk. You know, we see that in the Gospel of John, in John 13, 34 to 35, where he's with his disciples. He's just done what we're going to be doing here today, the initiated the Lord's Supper. And in the middle of that, after Judas had just gone to betray him, Jesus turns to his disciples and he says this to them. He says, "A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. For by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." See, at the heart of the Great Commission is this commandment. Jesus said, you know, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. And Jesus commanded his disciples to love one another. That's the great commandment, the one that's above all. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, body, strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Show you care.
Show you care, as Shirley says. And Shirley, God is with Shirley always. So when she says something, we need to take note too, right? So this is, Jesus sets before them this new commandment. And you know, our new commandment, this new commandment that Jesus gave is, you know, we have the prime directive, which is the Great Commission. Well, the Great Commandment is our operational mandate. This is how we are to be in the world. And it starts with the holy calling that Jesus has given to us as his church, as his body. He's called us out. And the Apostle Paul tells us this in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. See, this is our holy calling that ties into this. You'll see it in just a moment. In Romans 12, 1, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, his great love to you, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, for this is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing, his perfect will." This is our holy calling. We have a holy calling as the body of Christ. And our holy calling is to be lived out in the body. You know, the Apostle Paul continues on in Romans 12, verses 3 to 8, to say this. He says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of you has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us, each of us. And if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with that, your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouragement, then encourage. If it is giving, then give generously. And if it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully." See, our holy calling is lived out in the body of Christ. And not only that, but it is expressed in love. In love. And he closes this section in Romans 12, 9 to 13 and following with this, these words. He says, "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another." And so on and so on and so on. And he's talking about what? Relational congruency. What we have learned and received, we give to other people, we share with other people in love. That's our operational mandate, is to love as Jesus has loved us. And in so doing, it becomes our way of being in the world. It's our way of being. And that's so important. It's not about doing things. It's about who we are being in the world. For Jesus, that makes a difference. You know, we are to be agents of God's love, his grace, his compassion, his forgiveness, and so on and so on and so on. All that we see in Jesus, we are to be for the world around us. That's how we begin to reach this world for Jesus. You know, we need to be the body of Christ to the world, and incarnate his presence, to be his hands and his feet. But I know what you're going to say is, well, you know, and this is what, again, Bolzinger says, "The goal of our Christian faith is not simply to become a more loving community, but to be a community of people who participate in God's mission to heal the world by reestablishing his loving reign on earth as it is in heaven." You know, that's the goal we have. But you know what? How do we do this? Again, it comes right back to that. How do we do this? How do we live this out? How do we take on this way of being? What does this reaching the world kind of love look like? So we turn again to John the Apostle, because he was the one who Jesus loved. And so when you're reading the Gospel of John, when you're reading the letters of John, you know, just understand that when he talks about love and loving God and loving our neighbors, he was someone who was absolutely transformed by God's, by Jesus' love. So this is what John tells us. John 1, 1 John 4, 7 to 12. He says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And so, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. For no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another," oh, and I love this part, "God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us." In us. So it's when God's love is manifest in us as we begin to love ourselves, love our neighbors, love God with all our heart, soul, mind, body, strength, then the love of God just begins to flow out from us as our way of being. And what does that look like? It's being available to answer the call to love. Willingness to answer the call to love your neighbor as Christ has loved you. And it could be as simple as, you know, making time to go and to sit in a nursing home with dear friends who are in a nursing home, who just, you know, maybe have Alzheimer's or whatever it is, but being willing to go in and sit with them for a little bit. Get to know the nursing staff around them or the PSWs around them. They get to know you, you get to know them, and you show your love and your care for them. And it could be driving someone to an appointment, helping them get to where they need to be. And it could also be as simple as what I did this week myself. I was asked to come to the Youth for Christ, the Bridge, to teach a session to in their discipleship training school for the kids. And there were three youth, one other leader that was there for that time. And part of that was we went together to the Kawartha Food Share. How many of you have heard of Kawartha Food Share? Yeah, most of you have heard of Kawartha Food Share. That's the big warehouse where they house all the foodstuffs are brought to non-perishable food items that are boxed up and then sent off to all the food banks to, you know, keep them. You know, but you know what they have to do with all those foodstuffs that come in? They have to sort every single piece of food that comes in there. Cans, packages, have to look at the best before date, see if it's still good, throw out the stuff that's not, put the other stuff into other boxes so that it can all be boxed up and categorized so that they can all be sent out to all the food banks. We went and we sorted food for an hour. That's all the time we had. But I just looked around and I just thought, wow, there are just bins here. Showing love to our neighbors, showing love, this kind of love, maybe volunteering at the Kawartha Food Share to help sort food that's going to help other families in the community. It could be that. But it also could be supporting street-level advocacy. You know, this is something that's come up recently here. You know, Susan has been putting together some teams of people who are making sandwiches once a month. You know, six people one Thursday, four people another Thursday, you know, approximately, whatever. But if you want to help out with Susan in making sandwiches for street-level advocacy that distributes them to the homeless in the city, hey, there's an opportunity to start being missional, fulfilling this mission of love to our community. could also be knitting or crocheting blankets for the homeless. Janet is at the forefront of that. You know, she said she's got 5 already done so far herself. And I think there were another 15 or 18 that were donated from other people as well. But here's an opportunity. If you love to crochet, love to knit, hey, talk to Janet. You can start to become more missional in showing love to our homeless in the city. And then this one came up this week for me, Sela House. How many of you have heard of Sela House? Oh, maybe 1, 2. I know Giovanni has. I'm not going to tell you a lot about it because I've got a friend who's going to come up right now. And he's going to tell you because he was really instrumental in encouraging me this week to meet Helen, who is the director of Sela House. And the only way I would go and do that this week was if this man would come and help me rake leaves on my day off. And so I made, you know, about 20 minutes, 30 minutes to go and meet with Helen with him. And so come on up.
Good morning.
So there are many, 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 many more opportunities to be missional, to take up this mission, our prime directive, fulfill our prime directive, fulfill our on our operational mandate as the body of Christ. You know, it's all about letting your light shine as members of God's forever family. And wherever you are, whatever you are doing, it's about being the church, the body of Christ. So what is it going to take on our part? Here it is, very simple. It's going to take faithful commitment to understand and to live out who we are in Christ as we fulfill our prime directive and operational mandate as the body of Christ. And this brings us all the way back to where we started with Bodybuilding 101 when I presented to you this quote from Charles Colson, who wrote the book on the body. He says this, understanding the nature and character of the church is absolutely vital. And that's what we've been studying this whole year, on these first Sundays of the month. If you need to have a refresher, go back to all the videos that, you know, that have been recorded on YouTube. Get a refresher if you need to. But this is where we've been talking about mission. We've been talking about vision, what we're all about as the body of Christ, as we build the body of Christ to be able to be engaged in reaching the world. It's vital, for we cannot give what we do not have, and we cannot impart values that we do not hold. We cannot do until we are the body of Christ. To be the church, our highest calling depends on understanding the very character of the body of Christ on earth. Only then can we understand what it means to live as the people of God, serving God in today's world. That's what this is all about. That's what being the body of Christ is all about. So today, for the next 5 to 7 minutes, what I want you to do is take this reflective exercise right where you are. Take some time to silently reflect on these following questions. Now, you're not going to share all of these questions with everybody else around you, except for one other person that's sitting near you. I'd like you to think, what did you discover newly today about the Great Commission, the Great Commandment? What is your personal plan for reaching your part of the world? How are you reaching out in love to the world around you? And what is the Spirit of God inviting you to do or to be in response today? Take a few moments just to reflect on that. And then with the person that's sitting beside you, okay? I know that in some rows there may be 3 or 4, but or 3, but it might be the person behind you, but share with them, after a little bit of reflection, one thing that you're going to do in response today. You got five minutes. Okay. If we bring our attention back to the front now, I hope that conversation today was just helped you kind of anchor some of the things that we've been talking about this morning into your own personal experience, your own personal what's next for you. How do I take what I've just learned today and put it into practice, put feet to your faith this week? You know, it may just be an affirmation of the things that you're already doing. You know, the ways that you're already being in the world, but it's just so important for us to recognize that as we move forward as the body of Christ into this, into the world around us, that we do have a prime directive, we do have an operational mandate, and when we fulfill that, willingly go where Jesus is calling us to go, do the things that he's calling us to do, be the people that he's called us out to be, then it makes a difference. Makes a difference in the world. One, two, three people at a time. So, as we make this transition now into our time around the table, what I'd like us to do is I'd like us to join together in a prayer of examine. And it's a prayer of examine that I've taken right from Psalm 139. And I'd like you to stand with me, and as we read this together, make this your prayer. You know, the Psalms were meant to be sung or to be recited as a community. And so this is a prayer of examine as we come to the table this morning. So please stand with me as we say this together. Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Therefore, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Just take a moment now just to sit in silence as we prepare for our time around the Lord's table.